How many guys do we have here this morning that was not here yesterday morning? Okay, we got a couple. Let's read the scripture first, and I want to give you something if you were not here yesterday. Okay, Acts chapter number 2. I didn't think it's not ironic. I think it's a God thing. The same scripture that Daniel Halter used with the pastors yesterday, and I want to read verses 41 through 47. We're talking about church revitalization. And my conviction is that whatever God used to start the church is what He uses to sustain the church. And that it's so easy for you and I as pastors and leaders to try to do our own thing and get away from the basics. And what we find in this passage is really the blueprint, or what I want to call the philosophy of ministry, that every church should have. Daniel yesterday called it the continuing revival, and of course he listed those 10 or 11 things that are listed in this passage. So I want to read the passage again and just reiterate for just a minute or two what we talked about yesterday, and then really this morning I want to deal with prayer from the New Covenant perspective. Listen to what Acts 2, 41 through 47 says. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear, or reverence, conviction, and awe of God came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, and as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And would you not like to experience in your church, revitalization of the Spirit of God? And I said yesterday, I'm not really praying for a church like the book of Acts. Because when people lied about their offering, God killed them. And, you know, I really don't want that in my church. I'm thankful we're in the age of grace and the dispensation of grace. But anyway, we talked about yesterday, if a church is really going to be revitalized, that number one, preaching's got to be a priority. There's nothing, there's two things, preaching and prayer, but preaching is your main responsibility as a pastor. The worst compliment somebody could give you, I'll just reiterate it just for a second. You know, he wasn't a really good preacher, but he was a great pastor. That's really the wrong thinking of the Bible. I never will forget, I had my deacons together one meeting, and as our church was going through a transition of just teaching and educating our church, really, about what the Bible says the responsibility of a pastor is. And so I asked my men one day, I said, not what tradition says, not what this church has traditionally believed, but you guys tell me from your heart, what do you think the job description biblically of a pastor is? And they looked at me like, you know, because they're thinking through their religious tradition and this and that. And one old deacon man said, well, preacher, if I've read the Bible right, it's for you to pray and preach and feed this church and give us direction and vision that we might engage in the work of the ministry. And I said, bingo. And we all need help in our preaching. They continued steadfastly in what? The apostles' doctrine. Guys, doctrine is important. Doctrine matters. And we're living in a culture right now that says if we just love everybody, doctrine really don't matter. No, doctrine, what you believe really matters. And if you were here yesterday, I went in detail of that, but if you were not here yesterday, we're having at our church, now Jesse, will you help me, you and Eddie, we're having at our church in May 9 through 12, Does the name Stephen Olford ring a bell with anybody? You remember Stephen Olford? Well, his son, David Olford, is coming to our church. We had this last year. It's an expository preaching institute and spiritual growth. It's Tuesday through Friday, and I know that's time away, but listen, Olford said, if you don't come apart, you'll come apart. And so take that time, if your schedule at all allows, to come be with us, register on our website. It's $125, and listen, that doesn't nearly pay for the conference because we're bringing people in. I've got two men in our church that's underwriting it to the tune of $10,000 so that we can do this. We want to pour into preachers. Listen, if the church is going to change, it's got to start with us. I mean, how we are is how they'll be. And so, and I said yesterday, and I'll stay good to this, if you've got a financial, don't let finances keep you from coming. If you really want to come and you'll give the time and you'll get with me, I'll find somebody to underwrite you if I have to myself. We'll make sure that you can get there and stay and eat and get part of the conference because we believe that preaching is paramount in the church. Then the Bible says, they continued in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. Now, I want to explain this morning what I believe what prayer really is. You do know that we're in the new covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen to what he said in John 15. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will, and I will do it. I don't want us to ever think that God's the servant and we're the master. So I just want to ask you a question. Does prayer originate with God or with us? Okay. I mean, Harold, when he came to my church, he preached it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, where? On earth, that's what this whole conference is about, on earth as it is in heaven. So prayer is really not getting my will done in heaven. Prayer is getting God's will done on earth. Amen? That's what we're talking about. But if I don't abide in His Word and in Him, I'm not going to know what to pray. And God will do His will every time. So I want you to see it as a wheel. I didn't bring a visual. But we have God here, and we're here. And by the way, Harold said it a while ago, Jesus Christ does live in us. Amen. See, I believe He lives in us, I believe He lives for us, and I believe He lives through us.
Amen.
I believe that is Christianity. I don't think it's performance, I think it's cooperation and appropriation. As Ron would taught the other morning, it's not imitation, it's participation. So God, just on the wheel visual, God is here, we're here. So when I abide in His Word and His words abide in me, then the Spirit of God communicates to me from the Word what is on the heart and will of God the Father in heaven. It comes down to me through the Word and through abiding. You know, abiding is just God making Himself at home with me and me spending time with Him as He impresses upon me through the Word, and it just jumps off the page at times it don't. And so the Spirit of God communicates. That's what He said He would do. He said, I will not speak of myself. The ministry of the Spirit is to lead us and guide us in all truth. And here's where churches get in trouble. When you elevate the Holy Spirit over the Son, that's where charismatic doctrine comes in. Now, personally, I don't believe we pray to the Spirit. personally. I believe we pray by the Spirit in the name of Jesus to God the Father. See, doctrine matters. And so then it's communicated to me by the Spirit as I'm abiding, and then I get in tune to know what God is up to. And then I pray in the name of Jesus back to the Father. And will God do His will every time? Absolutely. God will always do His will. What do you have going on in your local church right now concerning prayer? Somebody tell me. Say it again. Tell us about that. Okay. That's great. Sunday night prayer meeting.
We have went and Saturday praying with our men. We have fasting and praying.
Praise the Lord. Somebody else?
They incorporate prayer into worship service. We have a time in our worship service. I was just letting the house of God be a house of prayer. And so in all our service, we have a time where we bow our heads and we take about 5 to 10 minutes and everybody prays in the service.
Amen. One over here. Amen.
After going through Harold's protocols and prayer,
yeah,
we were quickening that we form now groups of pray before our service.
Amen.
Before revival meetings, and just lay it out, and we have found that.
Oh, it changes the atmosphere.
It changes everything.
Yeah. Prayer has been. Yes, sir. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. You know, you go over a few chapters in the Bible to about chapter 5 and 6, and after the church was birthed, then some contention came to the church. And the apostles were so sold out and dedicated to prayer. Here's what they said. It's not that we should leave the ministry of prayer and the word to serve tables. Now that doesn't mean pastors aren't servants. We are. We're to serve people and minister to people. But listen to what they said. We will give ourselves continually to the ministry of prayer and the word. Now let me make a confession to you. I hadn't done that except the last couple years. When I first came to Prospect Baptist Church, I told you yesterday it was a Methodist church with a Baptist name. It really was. All the tradition, all the... Oh, my. And a lot of people come to know Christ, and people were coming, and we were growing numerically. Not sure we were growing spiritually. Because if your church does not grow spiritually to the degree you grow numerically, you're going to end up lopsided and not much that'll make the judgment seat will take place. The confession I want to make to you is our church in the early days was built on my personality. Is that registering anything, pastors? Which means if I leave, it falls. So God took me through a breaking period. Breaking period. He had to use a health situation, and I had to pull away for 60 days. I never will forget the doctor said, I was under the care of 3 doctors, and I tell people this, and they think I'm crazy. The greatest doctor visit I've ever made in my life was to a psychologist. I developed this lump sensation in my throat. There was nothing there. And then when I began to preach, that thing got big. I mean, it felt like there was a softball in my throat. And I couldn't swallow. I hardly could breathe. And I hadn't been to the doctor in years. And it's on October the 13th, I was in with my staff. Our church is booming. It's growing. And people are being saved. And all of a sudden, God... See, I believe in the sovereignty of God. He either allows or authors. Everything. I think he probably authored this. People say, is the devil after you? I said, no, God is. God's after me. I didn't know what was going on. So I walked out of that staff meeting. I said, I'm going to get some help. I don't know when I'll be back. I didn't come back for 30 days. Everybody thought I had cancer. Some of the community said, yeah, the pastor's gotten in an immoral affair. I mean, it just went everywhere. It just went everywhere. But what people didn't know, God was trying to get me over me. And the doctor said, you need to take 30 days off. I said, Doc, I can't do that. Listen to this. They can't make it without me. There's some of you here this morning, you think the church can't make it without you. It's really not about you. And he said, well, die then. What? Listen, that's great counsel. I opened my Bible. I said, well, Doc, I don't want to die. He said, well, you're going to have to take off. Your body is in such, you run out of gas about 6 months ago, and you've been working so hard. I worked 8 days a week, lived in the parsonage, never slept. He said, you've got to stop. I opened my Bible in Proverbs and it said, oh, how I wish I would have listened to my teachers and my counselors. So I went to my leadership, or they came to my house. I said, guys, I understand. If you don't understand, I don't understand. But I'm just telling you, the next 30 days, I've got to take off. And during that time, God began to break me of me and began to show me. And Ron Lynch, my mentor, I hated him during this time. I love him, but I hated him. Ron would call and he said, well, Stoney, I know what's going on, but I can't tell you. I said, thanks for the encouragement. I said, what do you mean? He said, listen to what he said. He said, if I tell you what's going on, you'll be my disciple instead of Christ. So for 60 days, I stared. No television, no social media, nothing, no people. And God began to break me. After 30 days, I went back to the doctors and they said, 30 more days. I said, Doc, I can't do this. Here, he gave me another word. He said, right now, your church is willing to do whatever it takes to get you well. And if you go back too soon and you relapse, they won't do it again. I said, okay. So I took 60 more days off. I went to the church. I said, look, I don't have cancer. I'm not in an affair. I'm sick. And I've got to be away. And during that time, God began to show me that what I had done previously was built on what I could do and what I was doing, and it was not built on the ministry of prayer and the Word. And Ron Lynch gave me this word. He said, now, will you go back? He said, there are going to be some people that liked you better sick than they do well after you've been with God. That's a fact. Because the message changed. See, prayer, if we don't lead our people, if we're not a person of prayer ourselves, we can't lead our church to pray. I mean, we've got to teach, equip, and empower our people to abide in Christ and His Word and let Him abide in us. So they get to know Him, so they can discover what God's up to and cooperate by faith with God and pray and believe what God's doing. I'll give you a couple of examples of how this works. We'll make sure to stay with my time. So I came back, and attendance declined a little bit because they liked my, and it wasn't that my personality was different. I was just different with God. Spurgeon said, God can't use a man greatly until he hurts him deeply. And so I went back and restructured some things and called our church to prayer and just really taught that it's not us really doing for God, although we do after we get a word. That's what faith is, responding to the revealed will of God. And the hungry people grew and the goats scattered. Are y'all with me? Say amen. But listen, I'm more concerned about what's going to take place at the judgment seat of Christ than I am anybody's opinion. And then God began to grow us and teach us as a church body what the ministry of prayer and the word was all about. And so it was time for our 150th anniversary. And all that, this day is just so clear in my mind. It's not like it was yesterday. It was like it's this morning. We moved everything off campus to have a big celebration day. There was lots of people there. We fed everybody on the grounds that day at the Civic Center. And I mean, we just had a wonderful day. The worship was off the chart. People come to know Christ. And as I'm preaching, matter of fact, I may change my message this morning at 8:45. I'm praying. I don't know. Anyway, as I was preaching, does God ever just impress upon you while you're preaching? As I was preaching, the Spirit, I was preaching in Joshua chapter 1 about going on over, just crossing over. In other words, going into leading the church into the next dimension of walking with God. And as I was preaching, the Spirit of God just struck me. We had all these people in this one facility, and I mean, it was probably 1,200 people there that morning. And listen, I don't believe in dreams and visions. I don't believe God speaks that way anymore, but I could see it. And God very quietly said to me, Bo Stoney, if you will take, we were in three worship services on Sunday morning, a Sunday night, and two Sunday schools, and it was, if you'll take the church back to one worship service. I said, God, wait a minute. That's not what the SBC teaches us. LifePoint wouldn't agree with that. You know, God, we can reach more people with multiple services than we can one. And it's like the Lord said, did I hear a voice? No, but boy, it was in my heart. God burst something in my heart that while I was preaching. And I went home that afternoon after eating with everybody, just fearful and scared. I said, God, how in the world do we do this? How in this world? So I prayed, Harold. I said, God, confirm it in the Scripture. And I prayed. And God used the Bible to confirm to me. See, you got to get a word. When you get a word, you can believe. It's called a rhema. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I can pray and believe. And so I, off the record, I called an architect that we'd used in the past. I said, hey, man, this is off the record. This is me and you. No, this, nobody else is privy to this conversation. You know our facility. You know what's going on. What would it take for me to put 1,000 people or 1,100 people or so back in one service? He said, let me come down and look. And I had private meetings with him that nobody knew about, because I was fearful. God, how are we going to do this? So finally, he told me, and I went to our leadership, and I said, hey, guys, I believe God's given me a word that we can believe together. And pray and seek God's face. They said, what is it, preacher? I said, I know God wants us to go back to one worship service. I know it's not conventional. I know it don't make sense. They said, what's it going to require, facility-wise? Because you can never build worship space and not have education space for discipleship, or you're going to get out of balance. I told them what the architect said, and they said, well, what's it going to cost? Why do we have to ask that all the time? What does it matter? I said, it's going to cost probably $4 million or over. And in that room, I saw a group of men that believed God more than the preacher did. They got on the edge of their seat and said, when can we start? And so we took it to the church and gave the church a vision and asked the church to pray with us. And I said, look, now, if you vote for this, this is not saying y'all go and do it, like most business meetings in Baptist churches are. Y'all vote for it, y'all go do it. I said, if you're not going to give, vote no. And we unanimously as a church decided to go in that direction. And let me tell you what God... See, prayer, what prayer does in my conviction, in my theology, prayer gets me into the dimension of what God is doing so that I can join Him and watch His will in heaven take place on earth. And we began as a church to pray and believe God. And so we said, here's what it's going to cost. And I said, just everybody needs to be a tither. Everybody needs to be a sacrificial giver as the Lord would lead you. And one guy came up to me and he said, so how are we going to raise this money? I said, well, you're going to give and I'm going to give and the people of God are going to give and we're just going to be biblical. We're not having any campaign paying $60,000, $70,000 to bring in an organization to manipulate and try to manipulate people to do this. We're just going to believe what God said and believe that we got a promise He provides because we're going to pray. Amen. And through that renovation, let me tell you what happened. I still stand amazed. Through that renovation, that church gave over $2 million above our operating needs. And all this happened during COVID. And I made the dumbest mistake that any preacher could ever make. We went online for 9 months in COVID. How stupid. What was I thinking? What planet was I on? So we came back and I said, church, first thing I got to do is repent. I made a terrible decision. I've asked God to forgive me and I've asked you to forgive me. But during COVID and, you know, we didn't meet. Because we had all these people and babies and young people and all of this. Our Sunday school classes, listen, our small groups kept meeting. Then they'd watch it in the... But anyway, we didn't meet. And all the giving was online or bring your gifts by the church. You know what happened? The offerings increased. We didn't even meet. And we go in that building, the first service. Here's what prayer and believing God will do. We went in that service. The first service we're in the building, the glory and the manifested presence of God showered His people. Son, they were in the balcony. They were on the floor. And preachers called me and said, man, what's the secret? I mean, what are y'all doing? Here it is. Praying and preaching. It's not hard, but it's out of date in today's culture. This brother says he has a prayer meeting. You ought to, listen, I want to encourage you guys. Find you some people to pray with you before every serve, every time you meet. and announce it, hey, we're having a prayer room 15 minutes before. We need to bring the prayer room back. We need to bring the prayer meeting back. Amen. And so on Wednesday nights, what I do is I encourage us from some passage, and then we pray together of whatever the need is. Then there's other times the Spirit of God will just say, hey, there's needs in the body. We might get together and say, okay, who's got a need tonight? People just flood the altar. We pray. We believe. Listen, guys, prayer is what gets you in tune with what God is doing.
That's right.
And if we are not men of prayer, if you don't want to be a man of prayer and a man of the word, go do something else. Because that is our job description. Can God revitalize your church? If He can revitalize you. You're the key. You're the key. Because you're the one that's going to lead that church either into the ministry of prayer and the word where God can really work and move, or you're the one that's going to hinder that church from where God wants to take it. See, I believe there's no big and small churches. I believe every church can be revitalized. But I believe it starts with the pastor. That's why we want to invest in pastors. That's why we have these May events, expository preaching and spiritual growth. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, guys, God's will can be done in your church as it is in heaven.
That's right.
But you and me have to become a man of prayer and the word. Is it going to be easy? No. When I started a prayer meeting in our church, I thought, you know what? People aren't going to like this. People, you know why? Because people don't know how to pray. And Harold come and taught us they don't know how to pray. Why don't you just get up and say, guys, you know what? We just don't know how to pray. Let's learn. What a great idea. I mean, it's profound. Why don't we just learn together? Why don't you get up to your church and say, if you haven't done this, you know what? I haven't led us to pray, but I want to. Let's start. Listen, the real believer, the one that has Christ living in them, they'll gravitate to it. And then others, it'll spread. It's contagious. And God will do in your church whatever His plan is in heaven. I believe, I'm a revival guy. I believe we can have revival.
Amen.
But I believe we'll not have revival until we pray and give ourselves continually to the ministry of prayer and the word. Amen. Guys, I love y'all. Thank you for being here.